This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Famma ba'du. My brothers and sisters, in our lesson on death and hereafter, it bears some level and some amount of reflection for us to think about this and say that what is the reason why Muslims do what they do. We are not talking here about people who don't follow Islam, because we are not talking about people who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. As I mentioned, even they do not deny death, but the fact remains that they do not have any faith and any belief in the hereafter, but we do. So why is it that even though we do not oppose this doctrine of resurrection verbally, we live our lives as if we don't believe that we will die and be resurrected and have to give account for what we said and did, for our deeds and our speech? And that's the reason it is essential to satisfy yourself that the fact of resurrection is in fact true and that it will happen to all of us whether or not we choose to believe it. Preparing for it is a sign of intelligence. Living in ghafla, in heedlessness, is a sign of weakness or lack of iman altogether. Why does a Muslim disobey Allah? Ask yourself this question. Why does a Muslim disobey Allah? Why does a Muslim gamble or go to the races or drink or commit zina or deal in bank interest? Sayyidatina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says that if the first thing that was revealed in the Quran was not to drink alcohol or not to commit zina, the people would have said, we will never do that. But the first surahs that were revealed were about the Jannah and the Jahannam, until the hearts of people became attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the rules of halal and haram were sent and people obeyed. So from this beautiful hadith and the qawl and the advice of our mother, Sayyidatina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, we understand the importance of understanding and reflecting on and embedding the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. This is the precursor, this is the platform on which everything else runs. And that platform is the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This does not require a PhD in Islamic sciences. It does not require anything, it just requires intelligence, it requires reflection, it requires using our eyes and ears and our faculties and senses. It requires focusing and reflecting on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with. It requires us to look around ourselves, it requires us to read the Quran. It requires us to be conscious of whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, until the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fixed and embedded in our hearts. And our hearts are illuminated with the nur and with the light of His kashif. This is the fundamental thing. Without this, nothing else will work. You can read, you can memorize the Quran, you can get a PhD in every branch of Islamic sciences, unless the azmat and the glory and magnificence and the awe and the majesty and the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is embedded in the heart, none of that will affect us. Nothing will affect us. My Shaykh used to say that the mina bird, right? It's a bird which can be taught to speak. So he used to say that a mina, or even a parrot for that matter, can be taught to speak, it can be taught to recite the kalima, it can be taught surahs of the Quran, whatnot. But when the cat catches the maina, or when the cat catches the parrot, will it recite the kalima? Or will it say, ah! It will go back to its original speech. Wo apni zaat ki boli bolta hai. Wo kalima nahi padhta hai. वो कुरान नहीं पढ़ता है. जब बिल्ली पकड़ेगी मैना को या तोते को, तो चाहे वो तोता हाफिज़ कुरान भी हो, वो कुरान की तिलावत नहीं करेगा, वो तो अपनी ज़ात की बोली बोलेगा. इवन इफ द पैरट इज़ अ हाफिज़ ऑफ द कुरान, व्हेन द कैट कैचेस द पैरट, दैट पैरट विल नॉट रिसाइट कुरान, द पैरट विल speak its original speech. What is our original speech? Is it La ilaha illallah? Or is it something else? We hear so many stories of this kind, where people at the time they are dying, they talk about what was uppermost in their minds. I heard a story about this lady who used to work in the stock exchange, who kept saying, buy, sell, buy, sell, buy, sell. And she died like that. Not a Muslim. But the point I'm making is that we will die the way we lived. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi, wala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it is His right that you should have His taqwa, and do not die except in a state of Islam. How can I assure myself, how can I ensure that I will not die except in a state of Islam? By living in a state of Islam. Because I don't know when death will come. I do not know when death will come. It's like, say for example, if Ferrari sends you a t-shirt, yeah, with a Ferrari logo on it, and says that wear this t-shirt and we will send a representative of ours with a brand new Ferrari. The key to that, brand new Ferrari. And this rep will come and can come at any time of the day or night. And when this person knocks on your door and you open the door, if you are wearing that t-shirt, Ferrari t-shirt, that rep will give you the key to the Ferrari. The car is yours, gift. What will we do? Believe me, that t-shirt is going to become a second skin for you. Right? You will live in that t-shirt. You will go to bed in that t-shirt. You will shower in that t-shirt. You will go to the toilet in that t-shirt. You will not take that t-shirt off. Because the Ferrari guy can come at any time, and the reward of wearing that t-shirt is that I get a brand new Ferrari. What about Jannah? The reward of dying with La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is Jannah. How is that going to happen? If we live by that. There's no other way. My brothers and sisters, the thing that Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha told us is that the Sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran in the Meccan period, which focused on the glory and majesty of Allah. It focused on the Akhirah. It focused on the Jannah, on Jannah and on the Nar. It focused on the whole concept of resurrection, that we will be resurrected no matter what happens to us. Even if you are atomized, you will be resurrected. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is not dependent on anything. Allah created us from nothing. So Allah can recreate us no matter what happens to us. And He will recreate us. He told us, He promised that you will be recreated. And you will stand before Allah. And I will stand before Allah to give account. So when this took root in the hearts of the Sahaba, then obeying Allah was very easy. See, the example of alcohol is so important, because both alcohol and gambling are addictive. They are addictive. Yet the Sahaba gave them up just like that, one shot. You're talking about people who were alcoholics. They drank alcohol all their life. They were alcoholics. There was a need. The body yearned for it. But when the ayat of the hurmat, of the prohibition of alcohol came, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have a police force, he did not enforce, he didn't put people in jail, he didn't beat people, he did not even set up a detoxification sanitarium or clinic. Nothing. The Sahaba just gave it up. Alcoholics Anonymous is a There's a school friend of mine who was an alcoholic for 30 years. His father actually wrote a book about that. He caused unimaginable grief to everybody. I mean, he didn't intend to do that, but that's what happened because of his alcoholism. And his father told me that one thing which stuck in my mind, he said, when I spoke to the... He was eventually put with Alcoholics Anonymous in a sanitarium and so on and so forth, and he got, you know, within quotes, cured. I'm saying within quotes because the guy, the person there, the counselor, he said to his father, he said that he also used to be an alcoholic. And he said the first thing to understand about alcohol is that there is no cure. If you are addicted to alcohol, you are addicted to alcohol. There is no cure. So he said, what can we do? He said, just stay away from it. Stay away from it. The cure is, don't go near it. He said, even if you have stayed away for 20 years, you take one drink and you are hooked back again. So stay away from it. That's how powerful it is. So also gambling. I know cases, I know actual names of people who had enormous wealth and who literally came on the street, who literally bankrupted and beggared themselves and their families by betting on horses or betting on all kinds of gambling things that they used to do. It is an addiction. It's a very powerful addiction, both of these. But both of these just went like that, one shot. How? Because the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was embedded, had taken root, and completely illuminated the hearts of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to focus on the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the first principle of tarbiyah is to inculcate the love of Allah in the hearts of people and to strengthen their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of Allah comes from the khashyat of Allah, the glory and magnificence of Allah in our hearts. And that creates hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason why most people disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in the matter of fara'id and halal and haram, is that for the most part, it's not because of ignorance, but because of a weakness of iman. For people today, the ghaib is not real, right? The unperceivable is not real. Jannah and Jahannam are not real. Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, even if I see Jannah before me, I will not love it any more than I already do. What does it tell you? He says that Jannah is so real to me that even if I see it, there's nothing surprising. I will not love it more. I won't say, oh my God, this is fantastic, this is so beautiful, I didn't realize. No. He said that listening to Rasulullah ﷺ explaining and talking about the Jannah and the Naar, these are so real that if I actually see Jannah, I will not love it anymore. And if I actually see the fire, I will not be afraid of it any more than I already am. And that's because the Jannah and Jahannam were so real for him. And this is not exclusive to him, radiallahu anhu. This was the state of the Sahaba, all of them. And for that reason, it is so important to talk about the Akhirah in our gatherings and to remind ourselves about the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about Jannah and Jahannam, constantly at home and in our gatherings, so that these things become real for us. What is not mentioned ceases to exist in the minds of people. What is mentioned becomes real. What is not mentioned becomes unreal. And we must not allow that to happen in this case. The best example of this is COVID. COVID, yes, it is dangerous. Yes, it is infectious. Yes, it has killed a lot of people. But is this the most dangerous, the most, lethal, the most infectious of all diseases? Not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. People die of heart disease. People die of high cholesterol. People die of cancer. People die of smoking-related diseases. In America alone, 500,000 people died last year thanks to cigarette smoking. Smoking-related tobacco-related illnesses. That was the reason. 500,000 people died. When did you hear that? When did you see that headline? When was somebody asking questions in Congress and in the House of Representatives or in Parliament in the UK or in the India or wherever, talking about the number of people who are dying because of cigarette smoking? People die of car accidents. Roughly 15,000 to 20,000 people die in America every year because of gun violence, accidentally or deliberately. But all that we hear is COVID. I open the weather app to see what the weather is going to be like, and there is a ticker at the bottom saying how many COVID deaths today and how many infections today. So many people tested positive and so many people died. Now, I'm not saying ignore that. I'm just saying that this is proof that what you constantly talk about, what you constantly remind yourself about, becomes very real to you. And what you don't talk about, it's as if it doesn't exist. Right? So when do we talk about the Akhirah? What about the Akhirah? What about the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When do we talk about this? We need to do this thing. We need to do this thing very, very seriously. In the early 1930s, alcohol was declared illegal and prohibition was enforced in the United States. Somebody took a good decision. They said, this is bad for everybody. There's nothing edifying or intelligent about introducing a toxic chemical into the body in the name of entertainment or whatever. They tried it for 4 years. They spent millions of dollars in trying to enforce it. Thousands of people were jailed. All kinds of things happened. And after 4 years, they repealed the law and they said it is not possible to enforce. In India, prohibition keeps getting enforced and keeps getting removed. Of course, there's a whole other reason of, you know, a black market and corruption and whatnot. But point being that prohibition is probably the most unsuccessful law that was ever passed. But think about this, that when the ayat prohibiting the drinking of alcohol were revealed in Medina during the siege of Banu Nadir, Jibril Salam came to Nabi Sallam with the ayat prohibiting the drinking of alcohol. Rasulullah recited the ayat to the Sahaba who were with him, and they went out into the streets of Medina and recited the ayat that alcohol is haram. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says, I was serving alcohol to some of the Sahaba. I threw the jug from my hand. Some of the Sahaba had cups in their hands and they threw them away. Some had alcohol in their mouths, they spat it out. And others who had drunk it, they put a finger inside and vomited it out, without any enforcement. People obeyed the order instantly as soon as they heard it. And this is because the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was deep in their hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was real to them. And they believed in the hereafter without any doubt. So obedience was easy. Not only did they do that, the amazing thing was that many of them used to distill alcohol from dates and from grapes. So they had vats of alcohol, of wine in their homes. They took those vats and they emptied them into the drains and then they smashed the containers. When Rasulullah heard about this, he called the people and he said, why are you breaking the containers? They said, Ya Rasulullah, we do not even want to be reminded of a time when we disobeyed Allah. Now think about that. When they were drinking alcohol, were they disobeying Allah? They were not disobeying Allah because the law had not come. And as soon as the law came, they obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, the reality of Allah was so real that they said, even if it is something When we were doing it, it was not illegal, but now it's illegal, meaning Allah didn't like it even then. And that's the first ayat was that. We don't even want to be reminded of that time that we used to do this. Pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was number one priority for them. And therefore, my brothers and sisters, talking about death and hereafter, the first thing for us to correct is our iman. Until that is rectified and made strong, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be a struggle, will always be difficult. And we may well end up with some serious consequences when we need our iman the most, and that is at the time of our own death. That is when shaitan is going to play his full game. Right now he's just toying with us. Then, at the time of our death, he is going to do his maximum to shake us, to shake our faith and to take us out of Islam. If our iman is the way it is today, will it help us when we are dying? That's the question to ask ourselves. There are three stages to this whole series of classes on death and hereafter. First one is death and the journey of the soul. Second one is Al-Alam al-Barzakh, which is the Khabar, the grave and the Day of Judgment. And then Jannah and Jahannam. These are the three stages of this lecture or this series of classes. My brothers and sisters, death is called in Arabic, in our Islamic language, it is called Al-Qiyamatu Sughra. The small qiyamah, the small day of judgment. Now death is the beginning of the day of judgment. Some of the Bedouins, they would come to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One group came to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when is the hour? When is the day of judgment? So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at the youngest of them. There was a boy with them. He looked at the youngest of them and he said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a long life, then before he dies, the day of judgment of all of you would have started. Yeah? Think about this. This group of people come, among with them is a little boy, and they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when is the day of judgment? And Rasulullah says to them, he looks at the little boy and he says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a long life, then all of you others would, for you, your day of judgment would have started before he dies. So what is he talking about? What is the day of judgment? The day of judgment of the individual begins at the point of his death. My day of judgment will be the day I die. Yours will be the day you die. And that's why it's called Qiyamah al-Sughra, the small Qiyamah, because it is Qiyamah. It is the day of judgment. It begins when we die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, whatever happens in the world, good, bad, ugly, beautiful, whatever, happens only and only by the Qudrat, the power, the will, the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not, however, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold our hand and guide us to something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the power to obey or disobey. And He gave us a book to teach us what is beneficial for us and what is not beneficial for us. In addition to that, He sent a teacher, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who demonstrated for us in his own beautiful and blessed life what is beneficial. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not and did not appoint the Nabi alayhi salam to compel anybody to do anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the truth is from your Rabb. The truth is from your Rabb, from your sustainer, creator, maintainer, protector. And those who want to believe can believe, and those who want to deny can deny. There's no compulsion. La ikraha fid din. Qad tabayyana ar-rushdu min al-ghayy. There is no compulsion in Islam. There is no compulsion in deen. The two paths have been clearly shown, demarcated, flag posted between goodness and evil. What is good, what is bad has been clearly shown. There is no confusion. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالتَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا. The one who denies and rejects false deities and false laws and false rules and false regulations and all kinds of falsehood, the person who rejects all that falsehood has grabbed hold of a handhold which will not break. And who has brought faith on Allah and who believes in Allah. فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا. He has grabbed a handhold which will not break. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this. So, it's very important for us to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the way, and then Allah in His infinite wisdom leaves it to us to choose what we want. And whatever we want, that road, that path will be opened for us. That path will become easy for us. The one who chooses goodness, goodness will become easy. The one who chooses evil, evil will become easy. Choice is ours. We cannot say that we were forced to do this or that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assured us and informed us that we will die. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. In Surah Sajdah, Allah said, say, the angel of death who is set over you will take your souls and then you will be brought to your Rabb. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. In Surah Ar-Rahman, whoever is on it, on the earth, will perish. Whoever is on the earth will perish. And the face, the glorious countenance of your Rabb, full of majesty and honor, will abide forever. The only one, Al-Hayyu Alladhi La Yamut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Insu Wal-Jinnu Yamutun. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say the humans and the jinn will die. Allah said, Kullu Nafsin Za'iqatul Maut. Thumma ilayna turja'un. In Surah Al-Ankabut, everyone, kullu nafsin, every breathing thing, every living soul shall taste death. And then unto us you will be returned. If anyone could have been spared or should have been spared death, it would surely have been Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, innaka mayyitun wa innahum mayyitun. Verily you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will die and verily they will also die. They meaning all his opponents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that no one can die before his time. When people say, oh, this so-and-so died very untimely. There's no untimely death. Death has been written, the day has been written, the time has been written. And doesn't change. No one can live longer than his appointed time, and no one can die before his or her appointed time. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا. And no person can ever die except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's leave and at an appointed term. His period of life is demarcated and clear. Death comes to individuals and nations at an appointed time, and neither can it be hastened nor can it be delayed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُنَّ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. And every nation, including every individual, has its appointed term. And when their term is reached, neither can they delay it, nor can they advance it by an hour or a moment. My brothers and sisters, it's very important for us to understand this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسٍ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. In Surah Yusuf, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have no power over any harm or profit to myself. I can't harm myself, I can't do benefit for myself, except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may will. For every ummah, for every community, for every nation, there is an appointed term. When that term is reached, neither can they delay it, nor can they advance it by an hour or a moment. I think let us stay with this message, inshallah, that we are, alhamdulillah, that we have to die, that one day we will die, and one day we will be resurrected, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live in a state of iman with yaqeen on him and on our meeting with him, and to live that life in a way where we look forward to that meeting, and we do our best to live our life in a way where that meeting will be full of goodness for us, inshallah. Allah has given this into our hands, and if we make the effort, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.